What's up, everybody, Commit or Quit family and listeners. Welcome to the show. This is Eric Nam.
Hey, this is Eddie Nam. And this week, we have a very, very special guest over Zoom, of course, to discuss the entertainment landscape and his favorite TV show.
Who is this guy, this man of mystery? Well, if you look at the title, you may be able to tell. It is Harry Shum Jr. Yes, he is a star from a lot of shows and movies you may have heard of. Shadowhunters, Crazy Rich Asians, Glee, etc., etc. And we had a great conversation with him. We were fans before, but I think we're even like bigger fans. Like, I would be totally down if he wants to become like a fourth Nam brother.
Yeah, no. I mean, even replacing a Nam brother.
I mean, Brian's never here. So, I mean… All right. Anyways, this is a great conversation with our friend Harry on this special episode of Commit or Quit, where we talk about Better Call Saul. Now, hope you enjoy a lot of great little bits in here. On to the podcast. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy.
Hey, what do you want to watch?
I don't know.
Oh, I actually heard this is really good.
What do you say? Should we commit or quit?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're super excited to have this amazing person on the show. We have Harry Shum Jr. coming on. What's up, Harry? How are you, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is
absolutely
cool. This is my first podcast over Zoom. And this is crazy times.
It is crazy times. Where are you home, I guess, in LA, or where are you
at? Yeah, I'm home in LA. You know, staying safe and home and, you know, trying to follow all the rules.
Right. We're also in isolation, and this is what we have found to be the best way to just keep creating content and stay sane.
No, this is wonderful that you guys are doing this. I know when you hit me up and what you guys are talking about, I think at the end of the day, it's like how to keep our sanity while doing all this and you know, and just doing our part. But it's great that you're entertaining folks who need to just hear other voices as well.
Yeah, but we're super excited to have you on the show. Just to give you a rundown, you know, obviously we're big fans. A lot of people around the world are really excited to hear from you. But we want to not only catch up with you and see how you're doing, but also talk about your favorite TV show. But I guess we could start with, you know, what have you been up to pre-COVID, pre-quarantine? what were you doing, you know?
It's crazy. You know, I was just this past year, I've been just hitting the ground running. I filmed about like three films back to back, and it was just nonstop. I was in Chicago shooting an indie, and that was about a month and a half. So I spent my time in Chicago, which was a wonderful city. And then I hopped over to New Orleans and shot a movie called All My Life for Universal. And that I had a wonderful time, and it was just such a great cast. And New Orleans, which my heart goes out to the people in New Orleans right now. They're getting hit really hard with COVID right now. But when I was out there, it was just a beautiful city that had so much love that was spreading all across the city. And then I came back and then shot a movie out here in L.A. And that it literally when I finished shooting, I think it was like a week after is when the stay at home was happening. And then, you know, I think like everyone just kind of was like trying to like figure out like, okay, you know what, it's cool. Maybe a couple of weeks at home won't be terrible. And then you're like, it'll pick up. And then you start realizing that this is, you know, it's obviously worldwide spread and everyone's going to go through it. And you see the news and then you start to really kind of figure out how to readjust your life at home and seeing, you know, also ways you can help people as well.
Right. Dude, what's it been like at this moment with your family? Everybody thought it was going to be a couple of weeks. It's obviously going to go a little bit farther. What's that dynamic been like? We know you have a daughter.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to lie. It has been a lot of up and down because I think everyone like gets good news. They're like, oh yeah, we're going to make it out like pretty quickly. You know, the sun is shining at times. And then obviously when it rains, you're like, okay, well, this isn't so bad because I have to stay in anyways. And, you know, when the sun is shining in certain places, I think not all over the world, but like in certain places, you're like, oh wait, no, I still got to adhere to these rules. And, but for the most part, I would say like my wife and my kid, it has been, the silver lining has been that I get to spend so much time in a positive way. I get to see my daughter grow. I get to really enjoy the little things that, you know, you normally would have to go to work right away and you leave,
right.
And you might be gone for 8 hours and then, you know, you get this short bit, but it takes some adjustment and some perspective shift. I'll tell you what, I am getting so good at washing dishes. Like I'm figuring out the speed of how quickly I can get my dishes washed, like actually sparkling clean, but also doing it in a way where it feels like a sport. It's really funny.
It's competitive.
It's very competitive. It's like, right. how quickly can I do this so I can do my do my thing? And it's like, it's part of the daily routine. Not that I wasn't washing dishes before, but now it's like, you know, I think most people are cooking a lot more at home.
Right.
So
we're gamifying everything. Gamifying like how to cook, how to clean, how to do laundry. Yeah. All these basic things are now a game. You know? Yeah,
exactly.
How old is your daughter now? She's
a year right now, a little over a year.
And how's it been being a new dad?
You know, I always thought that I was like prepared to be a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anyone is really prepared, because the things that you think like, oh yeah, I can do this, I can do that, it's the balance. Because I think like being a dad is not, it's difficult, but I think the balance of being a dad and trying to, you know, have a career and also like be a good husband, also like be friends with people is the balance, because, you know, it takes a lot of work. And I think a lot of people are having 24-hour parenting that I think is you can't like, oh, hey, someone can watch her for a couple hours. Like, right. Okay, how do we figure this out? How do I wear her and like do things around the house as well?
Yeah,
but it's cool. You get creative with it. And, you know, she just took like her first 3 steps. It's the best. It's the best thing. Like, oh man, like you see it happen. So who knows if I would have missed it, you know, if I was off somewhere.
Right.
So I appreciate those little things.
That's awesome. So I guess we could talk a little bit about, I feel like you kind of came onto the scene through Glee. I mean, I feel like most of the world got to know you through Glee. And since then you've stayed busy doing a slew of projects, from Shadowhunters for a few years, Crazy Rich Asians, obviously. And a slew of other projects. I guess for a lot of people, you were probably one of the first Asian American faces that they saw on TV. I feel like you were at that very, very beginning of a trend that has now brought us full circle where, you know, you're leading all these movies and in interesting projects. What was that like jumping into Glee? I know it's a very sudden question, but like just trying to lead into that.
I appreciate those words, but I don't ever feel like I was the first. I think for, you know, obviously younger folks who kind of didn't watch, like, you know, obviously that was the first exposure to just television alone, or a show that maybe they like attach themselves to, you know, because I think there's many folks that wanted to make sure that, you know, get the credit, because, you know, I grew up watching a lot of films, and I know that you guys agree. It's like you watch certain like movies and you're like, oh, there's an Asian guy or you know, and,
right.
and we all talk about that as some people might not understand how important that is. You know, I think a lot of us do, because you just want to have some like association with something you're watching. And
mm-hmm.
you know, not to say every film has to have someone that looks like you, because mm-hmm. I think it's important to show diversity in groups of people that might not have like a diverse group of people on the project. But for me, to answer the question with Glee is, you know, I think it just came on as I was doing pretty good as a dancer. You know, I came up the ranks and, you know, doing tours and music videos and started doing TV. And so that kind of came out of nowhere. The audition was just like they needed a dancer who can kind of act. That was right. really the thing. It's like you can kind of act as long as you can say lines without fumbling it. I think that's what they're looking for. And really, you know, the cast is so talented in so many different ways, but a lot of them aren't dancers. So they needed someone to kind of cut away to
right.
in certain, because there's so many musical numbers, and to not to say that they weren't capable of dancing. It's like we had to learn these dances so quickly, sometimes the day of,
wow.
and then we'd shoot it for like millions of people. So it's
right.
a lot of pressure for any actor to kind of go through. Even for me, sometimes like as a professional dancer, it was like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to, they're all looking at me because they're putting me in the front. And,
yeah.
and to make sure I don't mess up. And I'm like, so that was like a pressure of like, don't mess up because you're the pro dancer, even though I probably was a lot of times. But I don't take that lightly on knowing that, you know, while I was on the show, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm not representing a whole community, but I want to make sure that it's being represented properly as much as possible, even though, you know, it was out of my hands in certain times. But what I could do was at least whatever was written, I could play it in a way that can go as far as away as what the stereotype that has been shown on television shows.
Right.
Are you still dancing at all? I mean, it looks like it's
You know, I'm still involved in a lot of ways in the dance community. And you know, I dance more obviously for fun as opposed to like a career. But it's still heavily, I feel like, involved in my characters, because to me, it's really helped shifting the way, you know, I move and also like sometimes storytelling through movement. That's a big thing. And, you know, whether you call it dance or whatnot, I've always done that with all the projects that I've been a part of.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously dance really has informed your acting and the roles that you have taken on. But growing up, what types of films or TV shows kind of informed and affected, you know, what you watched and what influenced you?
As a kid, you watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Transformers, the movie. Oh, yeah. Like I'm talking about not Transformers, the cartoon, the movie. That actually, like, the one that the anime one. I don't know if you guys have watched that one.
I have not watched that one.
Oh, no. My gosh. It is. It is. It's like it's in the 80s. I remember I had a VHS copy. I'm dating myself. People who don't know what that is,
that's like a tape. That VHS.
Kind of put it. Yeah. What is that?
What is that? What's a tape?
Well, my sister had Madonna. I got very familiar with this concert. With Madonna, she had her. I think it was like Material Girl. I might be wrong. What the tour was called, but it was that. And then it would go into Transformers, the movie. But like before, my sister would always rewind it and I would be forced to watch Madonna and she wouldn't let me fast forward. And then I would be able to enjoy Transformers, which I feel that kind of got me familiar with just dance in general. Because, you know, she danced a lot in performance. Right. And then, you know, you go into this like robots fighting in outer space. And, you know, I think I was a late bloomer, I would say, because as I got older, I didn't really get into like films till I remember when I was about like 16, 17, when I started watching the three films that really made a mark on me was Pulp Fiction, Good Will Hunting, and Swingers. Very dude films, but those three films really like opened my eyes. I'm like, yeah. What the hell? Like, there's more things than just robots fighting and turtles, Ninja Turtles mutating.
Oh,
definitely a late bloomer. You know, as an immigrant kid, yeah. I wasn't exposed to too many things, and it was that really opened my eyes up.
That's fair. I mean, now we know your career has been heavily affected by Madonna and Transformers. Pretty much put you on this path.
Yeah, exactly. So I have Madonna and Optimus Prime to thank.
That's great.
That's amazing. You said immigrant kid. You were born and raised in Costa Rica. What's the backstory there?
I was born and partially raised in Costa Rica. You know, I moved out when I was about 5 or 6. And three places that really, I think, outside the fourth where I'm at, but like it was Costa Rica, which, you know, I was like grew up just imagining or I still feel like, you know, I'm part of the Costa Rican culture in the sense that I got married there. My dad's still there. You know, he has a shop there. I go there often. And it's interesting to see like I'm doing some stuff with like my mom where she's like teaching me how to cook. And, you know, there's a lot of Latin infused things in the Chinese cooking as well. So it's like a big mixture of flavors. And so that is what I am. And then San Francisco and then San Luis Obispo. Those are the two other spots that I really like. I think got to really learn about the American culture. But Costa Rica is just such a beautiful country with beautiful people. And, you know, they have a saying called Pura Vida, which is pure life. And it's such a wonderful saying because I think there's something great about constantly saying that and just a reminder of how pure life could be.
Absolutely.
Can you still speak Spanish pretty fluently?
No. Like my whole family, it's like I'm like the black sheep in not being able to speak Spanish because I'm able to, I understand it. And it's funny because when I go to Costa Rica, I struggle for a couple of days. And then when you start getting forced into speaking Spanish, you realize like how much you do know, but it's this barrier of like, oh, I can, a handicap of like, I'm just going to go back to English or even Chinese, you know? And I think it's important to obviously be put in those situations because you realize how much is still stayed in you, but you have that maybe whatever it's fear or blockage that kind of stops you from going all the way.
Right. It's really cool to hear your story, you know, in bits and pieces and understanding like where you're coming from. I guess one thing that we generally as Asians, like we feel like we have to just ask for a general, nothing too deep, nothing too crazy, but just obviously the past few years have been incredible for the community, just in terms of representation and seeing more people out there and just setting new records and new heights. What is the best way for you to kind of describe what you see in entertainment and in movie and film and music right now as an Asian American or as an Asian?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. To kind of also like switch it back to you, what you have done, I think in, you know, in music, I think it's really, really incredible. Cause I know you have a large fan base. People love you and you are extremely talented and I think you're charming. And I think those things that kind of don't, it's sad to say, but a lot of times, like it's not associated with the word Asians or Asian Americans. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm seeing is that like, oh, they could be talented too. They could be charming. They could be blah. It's just like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's just not being able to give the opportunity. But I would say, without getting too deep into it, I think it's self-identity and being comfortable and proud. Mm-hmm. I think that's more what's coming. And that is what's allowing people to like come out of the woodworks or be able to take more chances and showcase themselves and their talent. And I think that's what's been beautiful because, you know, going back to even pre-Glee or whatever, I watching music videos as like an 18-year-old trying to figure out, oh, how can I be in a music video? You always say, oh, well, that Asian guy's doing it. And I remember this guy, his name was Mike Bean. Michael Bean, and he was in Nelly Furtado video, and would be in Missy Elliott videos, and I would like follow him, like, oh yeah, I would see him randomly pop up in these videos that you know you watch almost 1,000 times,
right?
And those things take an effect on you, and gave me the little like, well, cool, I want to be that dude, you know, I don't want to be like the token Asian, but I was like, oh, that gave me the courage to be like, oh yeah, I want to be able to do that, and I think that is the effect that it's having on a lot of Asian Americans that want to pursue this, or even like obviously with YouTube and social media, it's allowing people to just kind of speak up and show themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's, you know, I thank you for playing a big role in that. This is a very not well known fact, but I actually auditioned for Glee.
Yeah.
Eric, I thought we were keeping that in the vault.
I was like, should I keep this underground in a coffin and never bring it up? But then I was like, you know what?
Hell no.
As Harry is being like, you know what? I watched these music videos and people inspire me. I'm like, well, you did that for just as many people, if not more. Because I think when I got a casting call to come and do this thing, I was like, really? Like, they're going to like ask me to do this? And they're like, wait, but then they have Harry. If Harry did it, then I could try it out. And so I remember distinctly remembering that as I went into that audition. So
oh, you probably killed it, and you would have killed that. And I think that's the important part. There could have been two, man. It could have been two.
It could have been two of us.
They're like, you know, that's hopefully the change that's going to happen. It's only not just like, well, we already have one Asian guy. It's like, it should be like, we should have a couple. It's okay to do that.
Right. But thank you for playing that role as well. So I love having this conversation, and hopefully we can continue this in a deeper fashion at some point down the future. But today, this show is actually Commit or Quit, and we talk about, obviously, our favorite TV shows and film. And so we asked you prior to this conversation to recommend one of your favorite TV shows of all time. And you sent us Better Call Saul. And we're going to dive into this series just a little bit. And we're going to ask you some questions. But before we do that, Eddie's going to give us a synopsis to kind of introduce our listeners into what this show is. So, Eddie, take it away.
Yeah, no problem, Eric. So, Harry, just to give you some context, this is one of my biggest roles. So, I'm going to try my best to tell this synopsis correctly.
You got this. You got this, baby.
Better Call Saul came out in 2015. There are 5 seasons so far. And it's actually a spinoff of Breaking Bad, for those that do not know. It's been airing on AMC. You can find it on Netflix. And it was created by Vince Gilligan and Peter Gould. Now, the synopsis. This is an Emmy-nominated prequel to Breaking Bad, following a small-time attorney, Jimmy McGill, as he transforms into morally challenged lawyer, Saul Goodman. Mm-hmm. You know, I was really excited that you said this was going to be the show that you're going to spotlight, because I loved Breaking Bad. And Eric's never seen Breaking Bad. And so I'm imagining you've seen all of them. So I feel like we're going to have some very interesting discussion today.
Yes, as Eddie shared, I had never watched Better Call Saul. I've never watched Breaking Bad either. And so people like come at me for this, but it's a big commitment. Breaking Bad is a long series, and I don't know if I can commit to that right now. So, you know, Eddie and I, we're going to try to give a quick synopsis of episodes 1 and 2 for people who are listening in who have no idea what the show is about. So episode 1 and 2 is pretty much, there's the main character, Jimmy McGill, who's AKA Saul Goodman. And he is a ex-con artist slash lawyer. And he opens the show by defending some really just some shithead kids, for lack of better terms. And it's over the course of 2 episodes, it's showing him and how deep his struggles are. And he's living in the back of a nail salon parlor, and that's his office.
Right.
He's trying to always make a quick buck by tricking people and running scams. And all this kind of goes south at a point where he gets involved with, like, I guess a drug cartel or something. It's not very clear. And then there's his brother, who is supposedly a very real, authentic lawyer who has a ton of money. And he, while Jimmy is like the complete opposite, just broke, horrible lawyer. And it pretty much follows him going through all these trials and tribulations as he's trying to stay alive, pay rent, and not get killed.
That was very good. That was, you know, it's bringing, it's, yes, you killed it. It's like bringing memories back, as, you know, obviously I'm in season 5 in the middle of it, or I think there's 2 episodes left for the season. And you saying that, it's like, oh my God, it's like down memory lane. Cause you know, it's been 5 seasons, and I think it is true. It is a lot of commitment. Cause I feel the same way on other shows when people tell me about them. So, that was really good. That was really good. Cause it made me, remember the past.
Memory lane. I guess to start off, why did you pick this show for us?
You know, I think now more than ever, I think there's plenty of shows doing that. This is not the only show. You know, there's obviously an anti-hero kind of element into this. And if you haven't watched Breaking Bad, you know, Jimmy comes off as a sleazeball. You know, he kind of shows up, and this is obviously a spinoff. Breaking Bad, same thing with A Better Call Saul. At times, it's a slow burn, but I think when you commit to that, it the payoff is huge. You know, you do that motion of holding your hands on your head, and you're just like, your mind is blown. You're like, oh my God, why are they doing that, or how did that just happen? But in a way that almost feels like what this show particularly does well is that it's just a great analysis of how people turn a certain way, you know. And I think Breaking Bad is obviously about that, but this one in particular, it's like you see why things that happen to him, and you'll see Jimmy is a good guy, and just every time he tries to do something good, it always either backfires or he gets screwed over, and he keeps trying to be good. And then it just, he can't help it, because like, this is the only option at the end of the day. And I think along with just the storytelling, I think the cinematography is some of the best on television. They always find the most interesting way to tell the stories visually as well. Right. And I think it's helped also by the actors just also not doing too much and allowing the story to be able to be told, and allowing the audience to kind of finish the puzzle themselves as well. And I think it's such an interactive show in that way. And I get so excited every week when it comes Monday to watch it, because I feel like I'm invested, and I'm not just a participant as opposed to just an observer.
I think you put that very well. Even in the first two episodes, there were so many moments where I was like, I have to look away. I can't watch this. And my hands were up in the air. And I was like, oh my right. God. Right. It was an emotional roller coaster of just being like, what?
Right.
Like it was constant. But then I just feel so bad for him because like, as you were saying, I don't think his intentions are bad. He's really just so broke and he's like trying to make it just like not starve for the day and just save a dollar here or there. And his brother, who is owed millions of dollars, is just like not helpful at all either in his own right. So I was just like, oh man, as I'm watching, it's like, man, if his brother had just like been like, okay, a little less stubborn, a little less selfish maybe, and just said, okay, man, just let's do it this way.
Right.
His life would be completely different.
Well, you see the tough love, like how tough love can in some ways be good, but also be very damaging to someone. And you start to see that trend and you start to realize like, why the tough love, right? Like the tough love in some ways will work. And then you can't constantly do that because it does affect someone and very negatively in a lot of ways. And I think, you know, we have all maybe either seen it or been exposed to that of just like, sometimes it has helped. And sometimes it's just like, yo, just help me out a bit. Right. Just to give me a little bit of be a little more lenient at times.
Yeah. Going back to what you said about the way they shot it and the writing and how it all pans out. I think they do a really good job of just beating the dead horse and getting their point across. For example, just like in the first episode, I think it's like a 10-minute montage of just showing how broke he is.
Yeah.
You know, like the check size, him not having his own fridge, not using the actual lighting in the home and using these like candle lit lamps and whatnot, you know? And then also just like all of the montages, like when he tries to be an honest lawyer and he says, you know what? I'll just roll up my sleeves and I'll just do what I'm doing every day in and out. Remember, they'd show that montage of him just like after each trial, like day by day, just grinding. It goes on for 10 minutes. And we're like, we get it. You're working hard, but he has no luck.
He has no luck and he has no money at the end of the day.
Right. The show takes its time with that. I don't think they're in a rush to tell anything. They really want, you know, to beat you over the head and say like, it's this bad.
Yeah. And it also feels like, I think with television, especially in your homes, for me, you know, and sometimes it's not people's thing, but like I love getting to know the characters. I love getting to like feel like, oh, I know the nuances and those. I think small things will come back in a bigger way later on.
Right.
And, I think when you get to know someone, you start to realize that, oh, I know why they're like that. You know, and I think that is, to me, I wouldn't say just fulfilling. I was just like, it feels like connection. I guess more of a connection. Just like you have friends, you're like, oh, I'm gonna be a little forgiving because I know why they're that way. You know?
I guess, you know, you mentioned tough love. And this is like a topic that I'm actually very, very curious about. Just because I think there are people respond so differently to different situations and the ways that they're raised and the people that are around them. How do you deal with tough love? And I'm sure you've thought about how to raise your daughter or your future kids.
I don't know. I think, you know, I think it's easy to like give like what I think I would do. That's what I've learned. Sometimes you plan things and there's a benefit to that. And there's sometimes you can't plan it. And hopefully you have taking in philosophies, techniques. You've seen different ways that people have done things and you identify how certain personalities will react to certain ways of the approach. And I've kind of just told myself that I would have a better understanding of people as much as I can, because not everyone, it's not one size fits all with everything. And I think with regards to my daughter, I'm getting to know her still. I can't say I'm going to raise her this way. Obviously there's ways I'm like, well, I'm going to make sure to like, you know, give her all the tools to make the best decisions. But I don't think I don't know yet, you know, and with the tough love thing, I think, you know, obviously there's a simple things of like, well, you got to need to fall, man. Like I can't be there to catch you. But like on the big fall is like, I'm not going to let her fall and crack her head open.
Right.
But I'm going to, you know, you're going to fall and you're going to hit your head. And, you know, I'm going to make sure to be like, yeah, that's what happens. So you learn from that. But, you know, I think that's what I can do in step by step to be able to kind of teach her these things and have her also have learning tools where it's not having a safety net constantly where mm-hmm. she's never going to learn about anything, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. One thing I definitely want to talk about here is the difference between a show like Better Call Saul or Breaking Bad versus a K-drama. You know, one thing that you mentioned, Harry, earlier was that you love the character development and like the pacing of it. They take their time with telling this story and showing how he was a good intention lawyer turning into this crooked guy, you know, like a Harvey Dent from The Dark Knight.
Right.
This slow transformation. But in K-dramas, there is no time. It's kind of like a very, we're going to shove everything into this. We're not looking for a second season.
Let me hook you. Yeah.
Exactly. So like, let's talk a little bit about like just the fundamental differences between these types of shows.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's, you know, I think in real life, there's prototypes. Like, you know, there's certain types of personality, certain types of people. You're like, oh, I know what you are. I know how you are. And I know what you're going to do in the story. And you might switch it, you know, because I think obviously K-drama, there's a lot of like, oh my God, it's that person was that person. And that's right. That they were doing that. So I think it's just a different type of way of storytelling, which I don't think one is better than the other. I just think it's like, kind of like, what do you feel like, you know? And I know my mom consumes so much K-drama to the point where she's like, I think, you know, there's like sites where you don't pay for it. And then my mom was like, I'll pay whatever. Just let me keep watching this because the free sites aren't working anymore.
Right.
And so, you know, I understand the kind of the addiction that comes behind it. It's because you do get to know the characters in a different way.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing though, is did you watch Breaking Bad before you watched Better Call Saul?
Yeah, I think it's the only show that I've watched where I literally tune in every single week. I didn't binge watch any of it. I tune in every single week.
Wow.
I've been a pretty avid watcher and kind of a studious, I guess. I don't know. Like I'm sitting there like ready for it.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I'll wait a couple weeks and to like watch a couple of them through. But for the most part, I've been there, especially with Breaking Bad. I was there every single week watching it.
See, I think that's part of the thing. It's like this Better Call Saul is also, it has the luxury of being able to do that because it has such a bought in fan base and an audience where people came from Breaking Bad who have told me like, this is the best show ever. It's a natural lead in. So when they are doing Better Call Saul, it has a little more leeway in taking its time and really peeling back the layers. It's not slow, but it takes its time in doing this full development. Because it has a bought-in audience. Whereas opposed to a K-drama, it's like, what is it? Is this going to be good or is this going to be bad? Well, we're going to throw everything at you in the first episode and make you watch. So it's a little bit different in what I think. You know, approach.
I will say that with Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, you can actually start with Better Call Saul and then you can watch Breaking Bad because, you know, the characters you start seeing characters pop up. And they've done an incredible job, even though I know people age. It's been like 7-8 years. They look the exact same because it's within like I believe like a 20-year span. I might be wrong. A 10-year span. Actually, I've lost track of time on when everything is happening. But what's great is that you start seeing characters kind of come in and out, and you're like, oh, and then the ones that maybe aren't there anymore, you're like. You get to know them a little better. So it's always a refresh with the familiarity that's still there. I don't know if that happens with K-dramas. If they have like a universe, I guess.
There's no Marvel Cinematic Universe
not
happening
really
here.
Not really looking for those season twos, right? It's just like, here are 18 episodes. Love it or leave it.
Right.
You know?
But that's a good point, though. Because for people like myself, if I haven't seen Breaking Bad and I haven't seen Better Call Saul, I was always under the impression I need to watch all, what, 6 seasons of Breaking Bad first and then dive into 5 seasons of Better Call Saul. I was like, I don't know if I can do how many hours of that is. Probably close to 100 hours of content.
Right.
So it's been a little daunting. I wouldn't recommend binging it. I recommend like just having that thing that always is there every week. There's some discipline in that too, right? Of like, I'm not going to touch it. at times for me, why it helps is like, I can't touch it because they haven't released it. But like, there is that, even if I'm able to, I'm like, okay, that's enough for me today. I'm gonna settle.
Yeah.
And it's like, good. I feel like fulfilled until the next time, you know? I think we kind of have to do that at times because there's no sustainability in binging constantly. You're not going to get anything done. You finish, you know, a couple seasons of something, but you're like, my hair's long. You know, right now. Right now might be the perfect emptiness. Time.
But there's right now might be the perfect time, but it's probably not the healthiest thing to do.
Yeah.
I think that's the perfect way to describe it, especially with this show. It really is episode by episode. You know, I did look past the first two. I kind of cheated leading into this episode. Mm-hmm. But after like three or four, I'm like, I'm good. You know, whereas a K-drama, it leaves you on like a moment where they're about to kiss or, you know, they hug for the first time and it cuts to the original soundtrack.
No!
And you're like, Skittles, Skittles, more Skittles. And you're just like, next. But these take a little bit more to digest and might, you know, change you as a person.
Right. So, I mean, one of the things that we also see in the first two episodes is Jimmy has a catchphrase, like pep talk before he goes into the courtroom. As an actor, have you ever, or like as a performer, do you have a routine before you go into something, before you go into a set or a scene or a show or give yourself a pep talk?
There's not this like thing I do, like a ritual. I mean, I think it kind of changes. Something about a ritual, which is great and allows this ease and to get you in a certain mindset, which is for me, it's been, I have to switch it up and change it up constantly because it, it allows me to see things a little differently and like feel a little differently, especially with acting and certain characters. So it'll kind of go closer to what the character is. But I think that looking in the mirror and talking to yourself or to whatever character you're playing, I think is effective in that sense.
Oh.
For sure for me, because you're able to get it out and talk it through and you're by yourself, so it doesn't really matter what you say. That's definitely something I do, but done in different methods at times.
The first few times, I've never acted. Full disclosure, I've never acted. I don't know if I can. I just don't know if I'd be good. But the first few times, they're like, oh, can you send in an audition tape or can you send it like self-tape? I was like, oh my God, this is what I look like? This is what I sound like? It was the most mortifying, like, cringy.
You're no different from every other actor, brother.
That
is exactly what it is, you know? I don't want to get deep on this, but we're all acting to a certain degree, yeah. Right? We're not sure, to say we're being fake, but we're all acting.
Right.
Because, you know, we are different when we are with our family. We are different to a certain degree. A lot of us are who we are, but there's certain things you can't say, you know, around your mom and dad, you know, just that alone is in some form of acting. Not that we're hiding anything, not that we're being, you know, fake. But it is that. So I think when you like kind of take those little tidbits and then you like keep it growing, you're acting.
I guess if we take this back to, you know, Better Call Saul for a moment, it's, you know, people have so many different layers to them. And this is too deep and big of a broad question. But when you watch this show, what makes a person here good or bad, right? What makes Saul distinctly good? What also makes him potentially distinctly bad? What, like, as a big fan of the show, what have you seen throughout this series on that?
Dude, that is such a good observation because what's good to someone is bad to someone else. So I think anybody watching that, and with any show particularly, like outside of like maybe the writers trying to tell you that this person's bad, you know, like really forcing it down your throat, this is a bad person, which, you know, I think like The Dark Knight obviously has done something really interesting with, you know, the Joker, where you're like, geez, I mean, I kind of like, I don't know, you know, it's like, it is bad. Obviously you shouldn't do those things, but the reasoning behind it, it's like, oh God, it's like, you struggle with that because like, you shouldn't be doing it that way. But I mean, you make some good points.
And
I think it's the method of how people are doing things. So for this particular show, you know, beyond Jimmy, you start to realize the other characters through sometimes silence and not even action of how they feel about certain things, and maybe what the reaction alone will dictate kind of how they are as a person, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, actually, my favorite actor, I think all of them are brilliant, but Rhea Seehorn, who plays Jimmy's love interest, is, I think, one of my favorite actresses. Just because she, I think there is a difficulty in not doing too much.
Right. Not overstating.
Not overstating. So you're always guessing, like, what is this person thinking? What are they going to do?
Right.
Constantly, you're just like, I don't know what she's thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think that is makes it such a good, what I was talking about being a participant in the show is like, you're like, God, you're constantly like, what is this person going to do? Why isn't she reacting? Like, why is this would piss me off to no end if this person said this to me or did this to me, but she is not reacting. And I'm like, what is she, is she going to go home and like break? There is this wonderful scene. This is not, giving any spoilers, but there's this scene that you would usually have an argument or tell, like if you came home and something, both of you went through something huge, you would go home and talk about it. But there's this whole scene. It was all done through just movement and not like dance or anything like that, but just done through movement and objects. But it's done in a way where like, I completely see what how they're expressing themselves and having a conversation without any dialogue, but it's not done in an esoteric way. It's just like, I've been there where you're just like, you just want to like grab something and just throw it across. But it was done with a lot of subtlety. So, I mean, like, I am a big fan of the show, but there's so many more things that this show provides that I'm just so enthralled and really appreciate it.
Right. I mean, I think that's it's great. That's why we wanted to have this discussion with you. I think part of, you know, Commit or Quit, for the most part, like Eddie and I, we're not film TV people. It's just very surface level. Like,
you're deeper than me. I am very surface level. I'm the type of guy that when someone says, you know, when I ask them, hey, is something wrong? And there's clearly something wrong, and they go, No, nothing's wrong. Then I just go, okay. I just move on. You know? So your observations right now are eye-opening. I'm like, my third eye is opening right now.
Right. And I think this is something that a lot of people, you know, if it's not through the lens of an actor or somebody who's in the craft, it's hard to kind of pull those pieces apart. And so I think for you, Harry, this is like, oh, this is just like, you know, of course. For us, we're like, whoa, mine is blown. I feel like Nemo, that sea turtle right now, like, bro.
You just listen to Harry talk all day.
I know.
I'm like, let's go episode by episode. Why don't we?
So, I mean, clearly this is, you're a big fan of the show. I think right now we've had, you know, a decent dialogue about the different parts and complexities just as over the first two episodes of Better Call Saul. And at this point, it's kind of like between Eddie and I, do we commit to this show or do we quit this show? And, you know, Harry, you know, after we kind of make that decision, if you can give one last defense, one appeal, one final appeal to the listeners as to why they should listen to this show. I guess I'll kick it off by saying I started skeptical because I just don't know anything about it. And there's so many things to watch. I was like, do I need another show like this? But starting the first two episodes, I was actually pleasantly surprised. I felt like even though I don't know anything about Breaking Bad, I could easily get into it. And it was a show about just, it felt like a flawed human. And so there's so much to unpack there where it was relatable. And it's just, you know, there are things about yourself that you can also always be like, man, I wish I wasn't this way, or I wish I was this way. But you look at Saul, you look at Jimmy, and you're like, man, he's going through it just the same way as I have, or I am, or I will. And so for me, it was a very relatable kind of show. And seeing it in the light of these, you know, I don't know, gangs or drugs or whatever it may be coming up, that is what's exciting to me. So I am going to commit to the show. That's my decision. So thank you for recommending it and forcing me to watch the first two episodes.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Eddie, how about yourself?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that I'm going to have to commit to this. As a Breaking Bad, I'm a big fan of that series. I would say it's probably one of the best shows of all time. I didn't know what to expect from Better Call Saul. But again, pleasantly surprised. I love the pacing. I love that like each episode made you think. And then I already told you I broke the rules. I'm already on episode 5. So
Eddie's in it.
Yeah, I'm in it.
Harry, how about yourself? I mean, I know you've watched it all. So as somebody who has watched it all from Breaking Bad to the most recent episodes of Better Call Saul, why should our listeners, what is your best argument for why they should watch this show if they haven't already?
I think you guys gave some great reasons why. And, you know, I think with whatever types of shows you watch, and I think every type of entertainment is okay. Because it done in whether it in moderation, you're not just watching a certain type that's kind of maybe not good for your brain and not good for, you know, your soul. I think find one show that at least makes you look at the world differently.
Mm.
And this show for me kind of has, you know, you find a little more empathy towards different types of people, maybe not exactly in your situation or maybe in right. your situation. And I think this show does it brilliantly because it's not about spectacle, even though there absolutely is, if you haven't got to it yet, there is where you're just like, whoa, that episode hit me hard because it was just all action. This is not that type of show, but actually it is because it has all that. And I think the team behind it has done a brilliant job on how to dissect the kind of the human not just emotion but like the what humans will do to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and given like the society and places, your environment that you're at, so without hitting it over the head too hard, I think it's just a good show to just give you good food for thought and to just have a different perspective on situations that kind of people get put into and why it's not exactly like really bad. And you might see another person in reality, you're like, oh, you're kind of like a Jimmy, you know, or you're kind of like right. blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't want to prejudge you just off of right. like the way your hair looks or the way you talk.
Right, right. No, absolutely. That's very well put. I think if anything, it builds an argument for just empathy and acceptance of people that you don't know. All of us, I think, you know, we appreciate the show. We appreciate your insights. And I'm glad that we could have had a little more depth to our conversation from a acting and film TV expert here. Moving beyond that, I think some of our fans, your fans, had questions that they're dying to get answered from you. So we have some from Twitter. We'll go through a few of them if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. So we're going to start really easy first. This is from Eclipse Twan Picks. Milk first or cereal first?
Oh, cereal first.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to splash everywhere, man.
Right. I know. People ask this question and I'm like, if you're asking this question, I don't actually trust you as a human. Like,
well, it depends on how you pour. That's really what it comes down to. People might like that plop.
Maybe.
I like that kind of like, you know, the waterfall, you know, right. going onto rocks. I like looking at that, like Niagara Falls. I'm like, I like that
because
the rocks are the cereals, right? And then the water is the milk. But yeah, that's kind of there odd to me because I'm not trying to drop a bunch of rocks into like a pool of water.
I don't know.
Wow, that was beautifully said. I'm sure you get this a lot, but do you still keep in touch with your fellow Glee cast members? And then, by the way, I love you so much, Harry. Sad face emoji and then a bunch of hearts. And this is from Blue Carob on Twitter.
Blue Carob, well, I love you too. And yes, I do. Actually, like we had just like random events like Cord's birthday before this whole quarantine happened. You know, I saw Darren and I saw Amber and Kevin and Jenna. And even like one of the events, I see Leah. So we still keep in touch. And, you know, Diana came and see the baby. Like it's still, the love is still there, even though how hard it is because everyone's so spread out all over the world and doing their own thing. But you know, we all went through 6 years of just like, it was like high school and beyond. You know, you went through this whole phase of your life, and I still love all of them dearly because they're all just so talented and doing so many cool things. And I know like Amber and I believe Darren were just on the Disney Sing Along that was on ABC for a charity event, and they smashed it. So it's really cool to see them killing it.
This is a question from Divis Cho. If offered a part in any superhero universe, what type of part would you want to be? Superhero or villain? Choose your words wisely here. This could be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I don't know. Just to me, the most interesting ones are incredibly complex. You know, I think like going back to Better Call Saul, those are the most interesting ones where you could be bad. And I think what's interesting is someone who's bad that completely turns into good. So like having that story, I think is interesting because we've seen the Joker, even the new Joker going from good to like bad. I think there's something interesting from going bad and then to good.
Right.
You know, like in how we reference what is good and bad. I think that is really, really interesting. Maybe there is a character that's kind of done that, but I don't think to the extent of like a deeper look into
like how a full redemption story kind of.
Yeah. Like, okay. I guess redemption story is the best way to put it, but not the linear way that kind of we've seen it. Cause I think what happens is you kind of like with everyone, whether it be a project you're trying to do or whether you're just as a human, you always fall back to what's comfortable.
Right. One last question. What has been your most unforgettable experience being an actor?
I don't think there's only one. I think maybe one that I would say the one that stands out to me, which I just had kind of like on this last movie, All My Life, that I did is, I don't take it for granted that I get to be able to be in the forefront, be a lead, tell a character that kind of you get to go in a little more in depth, because I've known the feeling of being kind of like a side character, background character for a long time. And because I did my best and I've done my best to be able to at least contribute. And sometimes you can only contribute so much into a project because that is your place and that is what you're there to do as a supporting character. And I just remember this moment feeling how lucky I am to be able to tell a story, especially that is a true story. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure to be able to give your take, but also fulfill kind of a certain person's real life.
Right.
And I think for me was to be able to see a crew of people, because everyone talks about like themselves as an actors and in front of the camera, but this crew of people not only caring about their technical side of how they're doing things and how they want to strive for perfection, but to be able to come together and help tell this story collectively and try and do the same thing all together and to fill this story as much as possible, I think is always the best feeling ever, because I got to see it in a way where not only was I in front of the camera being able to portray this character as authentic as possible, but to also, in my mind, make sure that everyone is able to do the best that they can to achieve that. And that was my one of my favorite moments that has stood out in the end when we all rapped and kind of people got teary eyed and, you know, you're there. This is bigger than just one or two people. And I'm sure with music, when you put a live show together, man, if you don't, as you notice now, like we notice now, man, like this technical aspect, we can only do so much, but there's so many people that you need to put on a show, right?
It's a whole team behind you. There's literally no I in team. It's everybody doing their part to make it all come together. So yeah, I completely hear you on that. So I guess that's, you know, that was for All My Life, which is, you just shot that. You just wrapped that up. I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it, but just briefly, like what was that about?
There's not too much I can talk about outside, like obviously what's in the trades when it came out is it's a real life story about this couple, Jen and Saul, who, you know, they fell in love and they're just a beautiful, beautiful couple. And what ended up happening is Saul, the character I played, who is a real life person, he got liver cancer. And right before they were about to get married. And so their friends banded together, did a big GoFundMe page and raised a uh-huh. bunch of money to try and give them the best wedding possible before mm-hmm. the inevitable thing happened. And it's more on the beautiful, it's a tragic story, tragic love story, but it's more about their love and what they did with the time before he passed away. And it was a story that, you know, really touched me because it talks about what you can do with your time here in face mm-hmm. of whatever that comes in front of you. And I just think it is done wonderfully. It's played, Jen is played by Jessica Roth, who is an incredible actress and so giving. Mm-hmm. And also Mark Myers, who has a couple of movies out right now but he's busy editing it away, and I don't know when it's going to come out, obviously during this time, but hopefully if I have more news, I'll be able to share
yeah.
it. But yeah, so
well, look forward to it.
This is so great to be able to, I'll just say, to talk to you guys, because, you know, having these conversations, I think, are incredibly important, that are a little more thought-provoking and hopefully entertaining as well. But I think it's wonderful to talk to both of you, because I knew you guys, mm-hmm. but I didn't get to know you guys. You know, I think
right.
from our little group chats, and, you know, I went to your show, which was incredible.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, and it's, I think these are nice, especially podcasts, whatever, however way you can do it, it's really nice to just talk about certain subjects and just, like, you know, I feel like I got to know you both a little better, and I hopefully will have the opportunity to get to know you guys better in the future as well.
Likewise. I mean, we really appreciate you making the time and allowing us to really dive into deeper topics. You know, it's a brief hour or so, but a lot can be done in that hour. So we really appreciate you being so open.
It's been a great experience, especially changing gears.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of K-drama, K-films, but this is a different discussion. Not yeah. better, just different.
Just right. different. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We love
yeah.
it. We love it. That's pretty much all we have for the show today. We really appreciate you making time. I know you have a lot of things going on at home as well with a daughter. And I don't know, anything you want to say to our listeners, anything people can look forward to coming soon or anything?
Hey man, I just want to say, stay strong out there. I know everyone is figuring out how to adjust to everything. I know listening, hopefully to whatever you are, or watching, you know, whatever gets your mind off certain things. I think, you know, that's, I think, what a lot of us are, as entertainers, are kind of here to do. It's just to, you know, get through these times or whatever hardships, or even just, like, if you're going through good stuff, you know, I think it's good to kind of, like, be able to, like, balance it out and know what other people are going through. So just, I appreciate everyone listening, and thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. And hopefully we'll see you soon when this is all over.
Hell yeah. We
can hang out, grab a beer. Thanks for making time. Have a good one, and we'll stay in touch.
Dude, really looking forward to Crazy Rich Asians as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Very much looking forward to that. My wife read the book, so she's like, ooh, it's going
to
be great.
There's a lot to unpack there, yeah.
Yeah.
That's another hour that we got to do.
That's another episode one day.
We'll do that.
But anyways, yeah. Appreciate the time, man.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
All right, guys. So that's it. That's a wrap on this episode of Commit or Quit with our special guest, Harry Shum Jr., and his TV recommendation, Better Call Saul.
Yeah. Let us know if you agree with Harry. Should we commit to watching Better Call Saul? Tag us on our Twitter at The Dive Studios to let us know your thoughts. And make sure to subscribe to Dive Studios on YouTube at youtube.com/Dive Studios. And follow us on Instagram. We're everywhere. We're on TikTok. And last but not least, subscribe to our Patreon as well. Patreon.com/Dive Studios. Guys, I see that number going up, and it's really, really bringing us up. It's bringing us together. It's keeping us alive. So thank you so much.
Yes, we are the Dive Studios family, y'all. We need y'all to join this family. Please, if you can, support even just like $3 a month for all this content. We would really, really appreciate it. Also, I know we always throw a bunch of handles at you at the end of the show, But really, we love to connect with you guys. So please subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss any new episodes, and leave us a nice rating and review if you can on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. Enjoy your day, your evening, your morning, whatever you're doing. Have a good one. Bye.
Goodbye.